Ser Jorah grunted. Yes, Khaleesi, but the Dothraki look on these things differently than we do in the West. I have told him as much, but Illyrio told him, your brother does not listen. The Horse Lords are no traitors. Viserys thinks he sold you, and now he wants his price. Yet Khal Drogo would say he had you as a gift. He will give Viserys a gift in return, yes, in his own time. You do not demand a gift of a Khal. You do not demand anything. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with the second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book.
Why are we talking about calls?
I don't know. I know, because Jason Momoa was at Planet Comic Con last weekend, which I was also at. I did not go meet him, though, because I didn't want to spend the extra $160.
Well, I have a better reason. We have a new member of the podcast, Khal Jesse.
Nice. Thank you. I've never been called Khal Jesse, but
or is he a blood rider?
Khal Carpenter?
No,
yeah, I'm more of a blood rider.
Carpenter rolls off the tongue. I like the sound of that.
Blood rider.
Although I was looking through some 1.0 cards since like I didn't play, but I got a collection and I'd heard about it, and I did see the Khal Drogo from 1.0 that just like.
After the corset one?
Which after
one?
You want to challenge, just ambush him in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. The
with,
best no, one?
With stealth. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that killed things was pretty good, too. Yeah,
not nearly.
The power.
And honestly, not nearly. The Dothraki search one wasn't terrible either.
So all Khal Drogos were good, but if you played the non-jumper one, you were probably wrong. Like,
that card seemed very good.
So the best part was, every so often there would be a like recurring argument about playing four cost or more characters, and every time they'd make the list, Khal Drogo would be on the list and be like, you never marshal that dude. Why is he on the list?
I hate that card. Dave Stroms gave me serious
PTSD.
I don't want to belittle PTSD, but something trauma, I guess, playing against that card.
Nightmare?
All the time. Nightmares, there we go.
Nightmares wouldn't do anything to him.
Post-traumatic Thrones disorder?
I mean, he's...
There we go.
He's very similar design to this edition's called... Lit Up the Hound.
Yeah.
But with no drawback.
The Hound has
Like, if you want to keep him in...
That's the Hound's drawback. Sometimes he gets stuck in play.
Sometimes he gets stuck in play, and I guess theoretically, you can sometimes be forced to draw a card. Or to discard a card.
How would you be forced to discard a card? That doesn't make sense.
The only drawback for the Hound is that he does not say Clansman. Yeah. I wish a Clansman had that text. Would be amazing.
Wait till you hear what I want to give Clansman later on.
Oh, God.
Wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
That's
little
fair.
Of the fact that Jesse's the only person that's been introduced this episode.
Yes, I'm Jesse.
Yeah.
The only Jesse that matters.
Exactly. There are other Jessies? I didn't even realize.
I think there are a couple.
There's at least an uncle.
All right.
There is an Uncle Jesse. There we go. Full House references. We're getting out of hand.
Another male Jesse I know.
Well, I'm
you know what's a shit show of a show? Fuller House, the sequel show. Have you watched it?
I've watched every episode.
There's a lot going on in that show that I don't think they've thought through. And considering like how arch conservative the actresses that like run it and have put it out there are, it's a weird show. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in that show for a children's reboot of a 90s TV show.
I lost a bet to a younger cousin. And I had you watch all of Fuller House and all of Girl Meets World, and I honestly thought I was going to die.
Really? So I've
heard better things about Girl Meets World.
My wife,
I don't know, man.
Fuller House loves it.
I like the shows like the originals growing up, but
that's true.
They didn't have the same flavor.
Yeah,
didn't have the same.
I think the only show from that era that holds up is Fresh Prince. This is a props or slops conversation. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to make us introduce ourselves, and so far we made it Jesse, and I think I said my name while someone else was talking about Fuller House. So,
the star of the Fresh Prince is Will, and that's you.
Exactly.
There we go.
Full circle.
Meanwhile, Roy is a fast food chain.
Yes, and I'm backed by unpopular demand.
There we go.
Police,
we are clearly the people's choice in host.
That's true. I just legitimately thought that was what Roy said, and I was confused because I was sure Roy would be popular to me.
He's got to be the most popular podcast host.
He's the most popular.
I mean, after
most popular person.
After Glazer, right?
No, I'm just the most ubiquitous.
Jesse's the most popular person.
I doubt that.
Jesse's friends want to kill him occasionally because he builds deck that doesn't share it with certain members of his group.
Whose friends don't want to kill them occasionally? I don't think they're real friends if they don't.
Roy. When have you ever wanted to kill Roy? See? I'm Glazer because we've introduced everyone else. I might as well not have a first name at this point. So let's just move on from there.
Here we go. Well, okay, tell you what, let's go ahead. Now that we've got everybody introduced, the listeners obviously know we're kind of resettling into a firmer bi-weekly rotation with a couple different teams, and this is one of the two teams. So we asked in the Patreon supporters group for some suggestions for team names, and Jesse's wife also threw one in earlier today. Let me scroll back here in the chat so I can find it. So I'm gonna let these guys get together here and decide which pairing of team names they want us to use. And then next week, the other team is actually going to choose which of the two names they are going to be. So on the table, we have Cell Swords and Mercenaries. Then we've got Red Cloaks and Gold Cloaks. We've got Words and Wind. Also Ice and Fire. Can't believe we haven't used that before. We've got Grumpkins and Snarks. And let's see, Bowl of Brown and Nothing. So maybe not so much that last pairing, but
Fire.
I think Ice and Fire makes the most sense. Although Words and Wind is really funny. Mostly because it just makes me think about how much Sandy really loves that card. And that makes me laugh every single time.
You don't let him build decks. Sandy's like, I'm so good at second edition as long as someone hands me a deck.
Driver, not the car.
But probably Ice and Fire is the best one. I'd be interested to see which team Tommy and Kyle and Scotty pick. Name out of that one too. Well, whether they consider themselves more ice or fire.
I like mercenaries and loyalists because it has that extra meaning.
Yeah. I enjoy the mercenaries and loyalists, but then like we wouldn't really be giving them a choice, right?
Yeah, but like that's what mercenaries do, right? Fuck over the loyalists.
Yeah, so for the listeners, the mercenaries would be us. Because the three members on this team are on other podcasts.
Oh, no, all four. I am also on another
podcast. All four, yes.
That's true.
Things I love. And the other three members on the other team are just loyalists to the one true White Book.
Mm. To the true, yeah.
I mean, then aren't they Kingsguard and we're Hedge Knights?
I would take that as well.
Yeah.
I vote Kingsguard and Hedge Knights. Because this way we get to like compliment them while giving them no choice. And fuck it, Hedge Knights are cooler than the Kingsguard anyway.
I agree. I could be down with some Kingsguard and Hedge Knight action.
Yeah. Dunk the lunk.
Is that the consensus then? Kingsguard and Hedge Knights?
That's my vote. Yep.
It fits the theme of the podcast as well.
It does.
Yeah, that's why I thought of it, because the White Book.
Oh, it does fit the theme. Okay, well, Patreon supporters, please don't hold it against us that all three of my co-hosts opted to use none of your suggestions. I tried to.
Well, technically, I'm a Patreon supporter.
Oh, you are? Well, we also we had more news about the Tyrell box, or the Tyrell. Good gravy, the Martell box.
Good gravy, that's adorable.
Sorry. The other house broken
on my
box.
Mind. Now I'm just thinking a cheesy exclamation. But they're really loading us down with like spoilers and previews and stuff, even from the official angle. It feels like.
Oh man, and there's another Fuller House reference in one of the cards.
Oh no! Which one
is there?
No use.
No use for good grief.
Grief.
Oh man!
Oh my god!
This is gonna.
But you know what's really messed up? How good Nymeria Sand is. She is a 4-cost military intrigue, 4-strength, unique bastard Sand Snake character, loyal with the ridiculous reaction after you lose dominance. Discard 1 card at random from the winning opponent's hand and draw 1 card.
So okay.
This is horseshit.
Can I give you a hot take? Bullshit. She's better than the original Nymeria.
Whoa.
Absolutely, oh, yeah. She is.
Like,
oh yeah.
It's not even close. Like, that card going out of rotation doesn't matter anymore.
No, and I think she might, like, it's her or Korkat that are the best 4-coster in the game.
Oh, Black Ears is in the game. Let's not get out of hand.
Clearly.
It's the 4-for-4. Like, she's just so much more efficient than...
I would play that card if it was 6-cost, honestly. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, almost immediately. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's
a free entry claim and card draw in 2.0.
But it's a free entry claim and card draw in the dominance phase.
Board of choice for your opponent of a power or the entry claim and draw. They get a hand in it.
I mean, do they? You're second player because you're Martell. I'll just
Yeah, I think you can just kind of.
I'll just kneel my whole board. It's fine.
And it really gives Martell, because like what Martell needs in particularly not Martell stag, right? Like
anything.
Fealty. Well, I'm saying right now, like some non Martell stag decks can have issues with those like super passive-y. Gain power and dominance phase decks, and this now gives them some more time, gives them some more answers to those decks, and define what they need. And what they need is more cards to be able to apply more pressure to those decks. And it really helps shore up a possibly bad matchup for non Martell stag Martell decks,
so
which is good like, for Martell.
How much?
Like so, Mel is real bad for Martell, like big Mel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
And like, okay, so you win dominance. Cool, we'll trade cards, I guess.
No, but then
like, and I get to draw a card.
And you're second player, so you make. Oh man, I guess she's gonna trigger you first every time.
Oh yeah,
but even so, like, I don't know if she's worse than the 7-cost Mel.
Well, her being an orange card and the synergy she will already have with hand destruction definitely makes her better.
Like even without that, like if they're both in the same house, like I guess she could, if she was Barra, she'd be worse because Barra wants a win dom. But like if she's in most other normal houses, I think she's just a generally better card. losing Dom is easier than winning Dom.
I mean, that's like, usually true.
And it, a two-card swing, you're trading hand knowledge, which I think is the big difference.
Well,
I think it's a very good
point. Yeah, also, just to get the...
Yeah, well, thank God she's loyal, so she stays away from Big Cersei.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, just to get the rules aspect out there for clarification, if your opponent has zero cards in hand and thus can't draw... can't discard. Can you still draw?
Read the card.
After you
discard one card at random from the winning opponent's hand and draw one card.
It says end. It's not then.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
So that mitigates even
you can fulfill partially fulfill. Yeah.
Fulfill as much as you can. There's the end means they're both equal.
So that makes her even better.
Any bad thing you're looking for in this box, Will, it's not going to happen. This is dumb.
I mean, that was more rhetorical to make sure that...
So, Jesse mentioned earlier that he would play Nymeria even if she was 6 cost, but there is a 6 cost card that was spoiled, which is Illyria Sand. She is 6 cost... Intrigue, power, 5 strength, loyal, unique character, bastard, companion, reaction. After Illyria Sand is declared as an attacker, choose up to 3 characters controlled by the defending player. Each of those characters must be declared as a defender for this challenge, if able.
Holy shit.
Why 3?
Because then you can kneel their whole board. You just take a loss in the challenge to kneel their whole board.
The board is already so small against
Martell. You know what she reads? Please make Martell go second.
Hey,
because if you go first...
She's still super annoying when they're going second.
Sure, though. She's just fucking bonkers if you're first.
Slight downside, if you kneel their whole board with Illaria, they may not beat you for dominance.
Well, there you go.
I'll take it.
Great.
You can put her in a challenge, right? And then have kneel 3 characters. Like, say it's an intrigue challenge and kneel, like, all 3 of their intrigue characters. Mm-hmm. Then you lose that challenge. Then there's that new Martell location that stands a character, right?
Shandy.
You lose,
yeah.
Right? And then you can stand her up, right? And then do the power challenge. And then...
Yeah. If you really want to kneel their board so you can get your military challenge through, I suppose you
can. Or, like, you're playing the Withering Cold.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then their whole board is knelt out, and you've just knelt 1 character.
These cards seem really well balanced, good for the game.
It's a healthy card. Hey, you know what this card makes really fucking annoyed? Dragons. Oh, I guess not. They don't all have the same icons. Dragons, 5 strength, though.
I mean, they all at least have the military icons, so if you can get Illaria the military.
No.
There you go. Kneel out all the dragons. No more dragons.
She's pretty annoying for Night's Watch, though.
I mean, she annihilates Night's Watch. Yes.
Yeah, she just... Wait, what icon did she have again?
Intrigue Power.
Intrigue Power.
Yeah,
she just destroys builders.
She destroys almost every defensive Night's Watch deck I can think of. I mean, I guess not Reigns. Reigns, you're just like, I better use the power, because if I intrigue, they're getting a range trigger.
I mean, like, I guess if you have Castle Blackout, you can... get your best character standing back up, but yeah, it's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Particularly because Martell's been getting stealth recently. So, another card. Now, this one, I think that we may have some more discussion about, is Tyene Sand. She is a 4-cost monocon, just an intrigue icon, 3 strength, unique, bastard, sand, snake, not loyal this time. Stealth, reaction. After you lose a challenge as the defending player, kneel a Sand Snake character to put Tyene Sand into play from your hand.
So better or worse than first edition Caldro?
Worse.
No, but she trash. She's not a good card. She doesn't see play. She's like the only bad card we've seen in this box so far.
I don't think she's that bad.
I don't think she's that bad, but
I don't think you'll find slots. I think like finding slots for her will be tough, but I don't know that I will automatically say she won't see play. I mean, if you like find an aggro, if you can figure out like an aggro Martell build, which I think is coming, you know, Darkstar, Alaria, Titan here. Like, I think you could find slots for sure.
Maybe.
Or even jumping Sand Six. This deck seems fine. Yeah.
Like, if it weren't a monocon, I'd be fine.
She'd be busted if she had two icons.
Yeah.
Busted.
As opposed to bad.
Well, so, I mean, old Nymeria could give her that second icon.
True.
She costs four gold.
I'm gonna put old Nymeria in my binder and not look at her for a while, though. So that's not really. And by my binder, I mean I'm not gonna tell Roy to put her in a deck that he built. That's how
Roy is binder.
It is binders. I do have the cards in binder.
Can we read the card that these are all supposed to work with?
Yeah, we can. We have our third Red Viper, six cost, just like the last one. Has all three icons, four strength, unique. Loyal, Lord, Intimidate, the Red Viper gets +1 strength for each power he has. Reaction. After you win a challenge in which you control an attacking bastard character, the Red Viper gains 1 power.
I don't think he's great, but I like that he demands you to build a deck around him.
You left out that he has the best Viper art we've ever seen.
He does have really... The art in general in this box is redundant.
Yeah.
Like, so far. It's the best.
Why are we still on Fuller House?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that looks at this and wants to build some kind of janky, like, Martell Rose, Knight the Red Viper, and then Lady Sansa's Vapor him?
Nope. You definitely are not the only one who wants to break this
good,
card.
Good.
What about a Martell Stag that wants Gendry and the bastards from and the car what is it that only goes on bastards? The King's Blood, right?
Didn't we just get another bastard spoiled? No, am I losing my mind?
Bastard of Knights.
Yeah,
right?
there's
another one.
Oh yeah, he was
loyal. This Barrett, this Martell Stag.
Oh, that one was loyal.
Bastard.
Nope. That one's apparently loyal.
No. I said he's not loyal.
Oh, he's not loyal.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, he's not loyal yet.
He's not. And he brings more stealth to the table.
I mean, I hear, okay, whatever, so I guess this card is good, whatever, leave me alone.
I think he's fine.
I think he's good, but he's probably only good in, like, the fourth or fifth best Martell deck.
He's not a pure good stuff card,
right?
No,
you have to build around him.
Six.
And
I find it interesting that all three Vipers, primarily the second and third ones, like, indicate a different build, which I find very interesting.
I mean,
I'm glad that they didn't keep them in the same, like, linear format of different cards. Like, I like that they split them up.
All three are functionally going extraordinarily different builds, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Like,
the second one is the closest good stuff card, right? Like,
yeah. Well, he's just a really good three card.
Icons. Renown, three icons, good strength. And, I mean, it's not hard to fulfill.
Icons are just really hard to come by.
And, right, and keeping mono, just without any is, just keeping monocons out of challenges is
solid. I mean, it's not out of challenge. It's out of challenges on defense.
That kind of is strength.
But on defense.
Yeah. Just not when offense, he's attacked.
Which is a big deal. Big difference.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't know.
Tricon is just unreal. And there's, like, only one bad Tricon in the whole game, so.
Oh, Renly.
He literally hit any word.
So.
Even if it was no attachments, he would
still. So, I genuinely think that, in a general good stuff deck, I'd probably rather have Cora Viper to whatchamacallit, to the sixth one. The other sixth one.
Which six? Really? I think I take the hard.
What kind of good stuff are you talking about?
I don't know.
I've been known to play a couple decks with seven cost Viper.
Seven cost Viper is a 3-up in my Martell fealty. Because I run three Doran and I run three Ariane, and when you combine all those cards, you have some, you know, real closing power.
Yeah, I agree. I like the second Viper. I like the six drop a lot.
Plus, I hate Targ, so seven cost Viper is really good at fucking up Targ.
That's fair.
He is. He's real hard for Targ to kill.
Very true.
At least till Danny comes out. Right. Okay, so there's a pair of events as well. We joked about this earlier. I really like the art on this card, but
I like that knife.
It's no use for grief, which is a loyal 2-cost Martell event. Play only if a Martell character was killed under your control this round. Action, Search your deck for a Sand Snake character with printed cost 3 or lower, put it into play, and shuffle your deck. Printed 6 cost or lower instead if the Red Viper is in your dead pile.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Going to get me a Nymeria.
I mean, flexible, like, kill at all this round.
Are you? Because, I mean, you got to have the Viper dead. It's 3 cost or lower.
I'll just kill some Viper. It's fine.
You just kill
my
Viper.
New plan, my new strategy for Martell is just kill the Viper.
Just get the Viper, dead.
Go get me some.
You know, if you play Murder for Children, she's died already.
Oh,
combo. So, I was just playing on Valorie myself.
Jesse, is this the new, like, backup plan for Hyper Viper if it can't close? Is okay, my Viper is clearly dead. He died like 7 times for the 3 murder, the like 6 murdered each children that I played on him. All right, so boom, getting some cards out of my deck is the backup plan.
What spell sand snake you grabbing? Tyene. I'm just gonna start murdering people. This is now a murder deck.
It's an attrition deck now. All these combo cards.
So I don't think this card sees any real play. I think it's a good card. I just think Martell has the stupidest events in the game. So given how insane Martell's events are, you can't fit this.
With the current card pool, I'm not sure it'll see play, but there might be, like, I'm. It's really hard for me to say any of these cards won't see play. Like, of course, there will be some cards that don't see play out of a box, but I think just what is even been spoiled.
I mean, good decks.
This.
I mean,
yeah.
Getting Doria though is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Like getting her, and if you have 1 or 2 other Sand Snakes out, bouncing their 3 cost, so you're up a card.
Well, you're not up a card. You're trading a card for a card.
Well, you got Doria and put her into play. So
you're one card spending, up because they
But you're spending a 2
cost. That one card you gained a card and they lost a card.
Yeah.
Why do they lose a card?
But whatever. Because it's out of play. Because you bounce somebody with Doria.
Oh. Yeah, okay, fine. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. I'm instead gonna play better stuff.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think this is going to blow up this the Martell builds, but I think you'll see some
thing
play.
As Vengeance Frelia.
What's the same thing as Vengeance Frelia? I missed the beginning of that.
The gold.
Maybe it's for grief.
Yeah, the gold cost.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
I would personally rather play Vengeance, but, you know, there are some decks that will want this, particularly if, like, a Sand Snake tribal deck becomes, like, a thing and it always wants Sand Snakes out. You know, to power its effects, like this could see some play. Jesse, would you, if this card was a Lannister card and said play only if a Lannister character was killed under your, and it had the same restrictions, so like 3 costs, but if the Mountain, you know, printed cost 6 or lower, if the Mountain was in your dead pile, right? Or
we don't want to talk about the Mountain
or Tyrion, or I don't know, like, or something, right? Or Tywin or something, right? You would play it, right? And I think that the same is true. Like, people made fun of a lot of the Builder Synergy cards, right? The more Sand Snake cards that we get that want other Sand, not just our, that are good, efficient Sand Snake cards, but that, like, build on each other and synergize on each other, you're going to want this card. But I don't think
this card I think Tribal Sand Snakes will be close to a tier 1 deck. It'll probably be tier 2. I think it'll be very good, though, in the hands of the right people. And I think this card will see play.
I think it'll see some play, but I think one of the biggest things for me is just that, like, even if this doesn't see a lot of play,
even if it just sees,
like,
play
your opponents now have to deal with such a kind of broad range of stuff that Martell could be setting on gold play right now, and they're all things with, you know, a lot of impact in the challenge phase. Maybe they're saving, you know, for their Flea Bottom trigger. Maybe it's the Vengeance for Elia. Maybe it's No Use for Grief. Maybe, I don't know, they happen to have 3 gold and it's a Venomous Blade that's come in. Like, there's so many options that Martell's going to have without having to telegraph exactly what it is. I think that's strong. Like, even if this particular card doesn't see a ton of play.
And it's strong tempo with, like, Water Gardens, where you don't pay any gold for it and you get a character. Like, it's not like a blow your mind, this is going to be in every single Martell Fealty, Martell Wolf, Martell Rose deck, but there will be Tribal Synergy Sand Snake decks that are, as Jesse said, almost there, or maybe there.
I think it looks like there that are those decks are there, although they might just be that bastard thing you were saying. I still don't know if I'm running this in them.
But, like,
I don't know.
Compare,
I'll have to see.
Compare this to, like, the Wolf Tutor, which doesn't put the character into play and kneels your faction card, but it costs zero.
Cards.
This card's just...
unfair.
It's just unfair. Ridiculous. It's a... like, but anyway, so there's one last powerful event that we should probably talk about, which is a non-loyal, zero cost, to the Spears. Play only if there are three or more plots in your use pile. Challenge is action. Each Martell character you control does not kneel when declared as an attacker in the next challenge you initiate this phase. And it's called, of course, To the Spears. With
hey,
an exclamation
Jesse,
point.
What deck are you playing this in? That's your answer? You're a liar. Yeah.
It goes in Viper for sure. This just busts it. But Martell Crossing, like this, like in like actual decks that more people will play, I think this card will be unbelievable, especially with what's her face that kneels three people.
Elaria.
That's horrifying.
That
Elaria, yeah.
That's
yeah,
real
like,
dumb.
Like open the power, like open the intrigue challenge, because you know the challenge becomes really unimportant by the time you've got three plots for a crossing deck. And kneel three characters. Elaria is still standing. Yeah,
the Intimidate's real good with this. Dark Star's real good with this. Someone got a Dark Star with a Dawn against me, and I was just like, I can't do anything. I lost this game because Dark Star and Dawn are just wrecking my board every turn.
So what do you? So you cut the seals in Hyper Viper for this?
You run it all.
Like what,
I don't know.
Like what do you? That's the question about Hyper Viper.
I don't run three seals anymore, but the slots are still really tight. I mean,
that's
the issue is like you can cut a lot of the economy because like Knight of Flowers just like busts your economy.
With that like, card that gives you gold based on the strength of the character.
Yeah, the
oh my god, that card.
And it was so panned.
Have you not seen an updated Hyper Viper list before?
I haven't, but like I always forget what To the Rose Banner does, because literally when that card came out, I was like, no one's going to play that card. That card's bad. And then I forgot about it, and then suddenly it became a thing thanks to
Hyper Anytime Viper. I see a card that like most people are like, oh, this card won't see play, but like maybe has combo potential, my first thought is always To the Rose Banner.
It's a busted card. In two decks, right? I guess three, right?
I think three now.
Wonder Woman, some version of Brienne, and Hyper Viper.
Yeah, I also think there's a Knight deck.
Can we not announce that
might
on
be
podcast?
Close to being
like,
busted.
Let's just move on. Nothing is here.
All right. All right. Did I miss anything else, Will, with this
as
preview?
As far as previews go? No, I think that's... That's everything that was new to this particular article. Yeah. We know a lot of the box now, it feels like.
Yeah. And by the time you listen to this, the Second Sons
so
will have spoiled two cards.
Well, I didn't realize we had spoilers. So far, what do you guys think the best card in the box is?
I'll go ahead. I'll say Dorne. It's a card advantage engine. It goes into basically it's when you're thinking about, all right, I'm going to play a Martell X deck. It could be any agenda. You're going to immediately be like, I want to try to fit Dorne in this because it sort of fits every single theme, like every single thing a Martell deck wants to do, which is draw cards and increase its reserve.
So. Dorne.
Will?
I don't want to just also jump straight to Dorne, but it's high at the top of my list. Nymeria's cool.
Are you taking Dorne?
You know, some of this
drop or Dorne?
Dorne.
Oh, no.
Dorne.
I said Dorne.
I'm saying
Dorne.
I'm saying the seven drop.
What? Why?
I think it's the best seven drop in the game.
Oh. Okay.
Why?
Endless applications with that card. He's just unbelievably good.
Give me some, man. Don't be vague. This is a podcast. We got to be giving people the information.
I just like, I really like him. Like, is there ever a situation where he's bad? Honestly, like, does he have any drawback at all?
When your opponent plays duel and you have another,
sure, I'll take that, I guess.
Yeah.
You said, is there an application?
Yeah. I don't know. You get hit with superiority.
So I have a different answer.
Well, wait exactly.
My answer is the name of my new podcast, The Shadow City Bastards. Shadow City Bastard is the best
card. Oh, actually, I feel obligated to say the worst to come, but
too late now. Too late now. I think the Shadow City Bastard changes the game.
I don't think, to answer Jesse's question, I don't think Doran goes in a Martell Reigns deck because his awesome ability requires you to kneel your faction card, even though he's a 5 strength intrigue person who steals people's icons and gives people icons.
You don't need to do the faction kneel, like, ever. It's true. Stealing the icons every time you just lose a challenge is plenty on defense. Really good.
That's true enough.
Or on offense, I guess, you just chump power. Like, a chump power with Kali out, with Doran out, changes the whole board.
He just...
it does. Yeah. That's obnoxious.
So the one thing that, like...
Like, what do they do?
Martell has been, like, getting better and better at is just, like, controlling challenges. And this just, like, puts it over the top.
That's the one thing they're getting better and better
at? No, I'm saying, like, they are getting better and better at it, right? Like, they were already okay at it, and then Dornish Spy came out, and it was like, oh, that's dumb. Then Fleabottom came out, and we're like, well, this is really dumb now. But now Doran, like, it just assures that every single challenge phase, like, you can't do anything.
So one Fleabottom in Shadow City Bastards is the same thing.
Yes, I agree. So sweet. So Martell has 9 answers where you can't do fucking challenges. And if you...
Except against Greyjoy, because Greyjoy runs all the 7 costers, so you need Doran, because those Shadow City Bastards are just sitting in your discard pile not doing shit against Greyjoy.
Printed cost, so your Shadow City Bastard is taking away their 4/4 that get with the pillage.
Yep. Triss.
That, like, 18... that stupid 18 strength. Triss. And Triss.
And Theon.
And Theon. And, there's no...
And don't worry.
And honestly, well, getting rid of all those little motherfuckers, like, because eventually they're just going to get killed off. And now it's just like, hey, look, all you have left are big guys. Let's play.
And don't worry, even if you can manage to get a challenge through, let's say, because of a nightmare or you run answers. Yeah, then they just, I don't know, I guess I'll kneel Water Gardens. And then they'll, like, start to pull a card from your hand and you'll just be like, I quit. Like, this isn't fun anymore. Like,
and then you have dominance and they discard one. You start to draw one. That's my favorite thing. Just because, like, fuck new Asha so hard. I hate that card.
I think Asha might be a little overpowered, but, like, a card that everyone's been griping about, Triss. I think Triss is unbelievably good for the game.
I think Triss is great for the game.
I agree.
I think Asha's bad for the game. Triss is great for the game. Like, Asha and Euron are not healthy cards.
Do you think Asha's bad for the game because the amount of time she adds searching through and shuffling decks?
I think Asha's bad for the game because
if you're playing against her, you're like, oh, I guess I'll search for 24 cards now, is that right? Like,
yeah, and you have to count
after,
your
like,
discard
15
pile,
cards, like, if I'm not playing in a tournament, if I'm playing casually, I'm just like, search your deck, like, I don't care, like, I'm not counting them anymore, like, it doesn't matter.
It's effectively the same.
So, but, like, I think what's broken about her is either the stealth or that she works on defense, or both.
She should definitely not have, a keyword.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, pillage. I'm saying she should not have, like,
stealth. She has to have the keyword,
like,
to
a
make
real
her ability work.
Like, pillage only works in so far as it works with other people. Like, I don't like her because it's, like, poor Korkat. Just poor Korkat. It makes me so sad. Alright, I need to stop talking about StarCore. I'm going to start crying blood. So let's just move on.
Well, I was going to say, at this point, do we look at... Go ahead.
Can I just say something real quick about Triss? Because I like Triss in some ways, but I don't like that Triss was given to Greyjoy. Because the frustrating thing about playing against Triss, well, not just the wall, but anything. I was playing Barah, and it's like, oh, oh, okay, your Robert's gone. Oh, this is gone. It's like, oh, here's all my answer cards to defeat your bullshit Greyjoy strategy of playing all these expensive characters. And I can't punish you now because you took my Seed in Flames. You took my Neil events. And it's like, oh, okay. So I have to find a way to get Triss off the board. If he had been in Stark or like any other faction, I think Triss would be, that isn't Martell, of course, would be much better.
This might be the one card in the game that like I wish was neutral. Like I wish Triss was neutral. I wish everyone could run him.
In hindsight, and I didn't think I would be, I'm pretty happy Littlefinger is neutral too.
Yeah. I am as well.
But Triss honestly feels like a Lannister card. Lannister has the pillage theme with actual choice of what you pillage on like Greyjoy, which is just dumb batshit luck. And Lannister has intrigue, and he works really well with intrigue. I feel like that's a fairly balanced interaction.
My heart will not allow me to say that I wish he was outside of Greyjoy, but...
Yes, it will. You wish he was a clansman.
That's fair. Like, that's fine.
That was so easy.
But...
Okay. All right. Well,
that is a good transition.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of giving cards away, I think that sends us into the second topic of the evening, and that is one that Aaron kind of brainstormed here. So I'll let him kind of introduce it, and we'll run from there.
It is Christmas in Westeros, and every house is in a giving mood. Every house must give one of their cards. Nothing they would want to play in every single deck for the most part. Nothing too strong, usually, unless the house is already extremely strong, to another faction. Every faction must receive a gift, and every house must give away exactly one card. Will and I both went through all 8 factions and gave away one card to another faction. Roy and Jesse will be deciding which, if either of our gifts go through. That makes sense to everybody?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Sounds legit to me.
All right, Will, do you want to start with Barra?
Okay, the card that I'm giving away from Barra?
Giving away from Barra.
Sure. So, away from Baratheon, I am going to give Storm's End to Greyjoy. Now, obviously, it's going to need a rename to, you know, some kind of Naga's Ribs derivative or whatever. But I think it's a way to kind of move some of that dominance theme into them as well, like FFG's kind of been doing. But it puts the power on the character, which I feel kind of emphasizes the need to keep those characters on the board and play up Greyjoy's saves, blowing their saves to keep those characters there. So. What I've got.
Are we judging after each one, or
no? You'll judge after both Barra, and sure. Then you can discuss both, and you guys can determine, and we'll present arguments as they come up. So Baratheon gives the Kingswood to Targaryen.
Oh,
this at first seems too powerful, but once the power challenge is lost, it discards itself. It has to find space for it. And it's really specifically going to be in a deck that a lot of people play, but doesn't seem to actually quite be there. Those Plaza of Punishment HRD decks are solid, but they're nowhere near the top Barra decks. And I feel like this combo would go a long way toward making them so. It gets you that power challenge unopposed a lot, which is going to kill a lot of the lower cost guys and allow you to aggro the board, while... your major Targ decks will look at it, but it's going to be hard to fit more than one, given that they're willing to sack themselves.
Jesse, you want to go ahead?
Will, yours is okay. Like, that's, like, I'm fine with that. Seems okay. Shut Glazer, up. Absolutely not.
I 100% agree with Jesse here. Not. Like, no passive burn for, like,
no way. No. If the new Danny would have never been printed, maybe, and I still think it would be
There's a new Danny? I hadn't heard. I heard she was bad.
I love the idea, Glazer, but I'm surprised you didn't just say visited by fucking shadows. Like,
then just was like, what? Let's pick the most broken card that we could get.
But, well, I actually like your idea that like they have to keep it on the character, because that works for some Greyjoy decks, and then like, even though that seems like it could be strong for
Kingsmoot.
Well, Kingsmoot, but even though that seems like it could be strong for Drowned God, like, you can't keep a lot of characters in play with Drowned God, so that is a drawback. So it seems well-balanced, and just, it's that theme. I do enjoy that, and again, Glazer, you are so wrong.
I think that it sacks itself, makes it really interactive. I like interactive stuff.
I agree it's interactive, it doesn't mean it's fair.
Fair. I think it's super fair. All right. I also think Targ is about to be pushed down in the meta until Danny comes out.
I agree.
All bets are off. I think Danny may break the game.
Well, Danny's one pack away. So, I mean, if Targ gets pushed down for a month.
Is she really already? It felt like it was so far away. All right.
Danny and Bratz card come out together.
Oh, God. Bratz of card. Whatever.
In just a. Like 2 weeks.
Well, it might be the Martell box first. We don't know.
When we're recording.
So it'd probably be April. But I just think
Bratz's card pack 6. That's right.
So I think just like passive burn that makes attacking power challenges into Targ is just bad. Like, it's just like you can't, like, it just does redundancy on a really unfair theme. Yeah, it's interactive in the sense that you can make it go down, but so, or go away permanently, but so is a Conan Forest, and people hate that. And that's an faction that just can't
kill your Conan Forest kneels.
Yeah, but
no, Conan Forest kneels. Sacking yourself is different. Sacking yourself is this huge tempo.
The passive you should ever have to, like to get passive burn, you should have to play Blood of the Dragon in your plot deck.
Yeah, which is a real cost. Because its stats are pretty bad.
Yes.
And I think, look, there's a reason why it was made loyal. Like, I can almost imagine that Nate's initial design of this card was that it was non-loyal to try to encourage Targ and Barra to play together. But people, like, knew. Like, because as soon as you compare that minus one strength with any terminal burn effect, no.
Okay.
So Will right, wins by so, default.
Well, it's okay. All right, off to Greyjoy. I'll go first for Greyjoy. We'll just alternate. Greyjoy is giving away their Lordsport Shipwright to Baratheon.
Interesting.
Barra needs location control, like, fairly desperately. Most houses do, but Barra especially has the Neil theme, and I see little reason that Neil theme should be limited to only characters. So you stick the Ashai trade on it, maybe, maybe not, doesn't ultimately matter, and you give, or you can give it a warship synergy, and you give the Lordsport Shipwright over to House Baratheon, and now they have the location control they need for their dominance decks, along with a little extra synergy. Oh, also, amazing with Selyse, you drop, you have this out, you kneel their Flea Bottom, then you Selyse.
Mm-hmm. To me? All right, I'm going to throw Aaron off a little bit because since I emailed this to him, I actually changed my Greyjoy choice because it was kind of I need something to round out this other house choice since everybody had to get a gift. But I've changed it.
Okay.
Now I have Greyjoy giving Captain's Daughter to Stark. Obviously, a little bit of a sacrifice connection lines up there. But I also think it plays into kind of the Stark instant decision. Can you have that or not? You know, Bran cancel and Harrenhal kills and that sort of thing. So there we go.
So both, neither?
Yep.
I think both fit a place. I actually legitimately thought, I like tried to guess a couple of mine. I thought you were going to give Asha away to Stark, Glazer.
No.
I actually, like, if I had to choose one, it would have been Asha.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of their seven costers going to somebody else, spread the love around.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's all they have going for them, and I didn't want to give away anything that was, like, in every deck unless the deck was incredibly powerful.
Sure.
I feel like
Lord Shipwright, which is in every deck.
Well, sure, but Greyjoy's theme is generally chucking locations, right? Like, you should have to actually play Newly Made Lord, or, like, do something for it. That passive kneeling thing isn't really Greyjoy. Like, to me, that's a different theme, and that should be in a different house.
I actually think... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, I can see that. I was agreeing.
I think both of you did a really good job. I want to agree with Jesse. I think they fit both the themes of the houses that you moved into them. But I have to go with Aaron's, because without the R'hllor trait and moving it out of the core set, like, I think if Bera had gotten a Lord Short, Dragonstone Port Shipwright in the second cycle, it would have really helped Bera. I think as a core set card, it would have been oppressive for Bera to both kneel your characters, have the one of the best seven cost characters, and have a character that prevents you from standing two characters and can kneel your locations would have been just like, why should I play any other faction? But like, as the game's grown and the game has power creeped, Bera's initial advantage has largely faded, and Nate and then Danny have been a little scared to print powerful Bera cards until recently. And so, like, giving this in cycle two would have been great. So right now, where the card pool sits, moving this over to Bera, I think would be really great, particularly if it's non-loyal. It gives you another reason to go banner stag. It spreads that location hate throughout the meta, which I also like, because I really hate that it's just Greyjoy and Banner Kraken that have good location answers. So just, I think spreading that love to more factions is really good. So, and the soft control is a Bera theme. So yeah, it's great. But Will did a great job too, because I think Will's is also good. But Aaron wins, but just because I think it really hits. Have
to be it's just the gifts go through. Or
yeah, they go through.
Yeah, both those dramatically make sense. Yeah. I just think yours, like, that would be an every single Bera deck, and it would be cool. I'm not sure Captain Zotter would make it into every single Stark deck, but I think it would.
Something like Bratz's deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a much better Stark card than it is a Greyjoy
card. That's why I think it was very strong.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Lannister. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mine's actually just super straightforward. I'm going to kick Aliyah over to Night's Watch.
What is she?
Plays into their... She's the little two-cost, two-strength intrigue icon. If you win a challenge with her, take a gold from your opponent. Just plays into the Night's Watch denial a little bit.
I actually like that. Yeah.
And, you know, they wouldn't mind intrigue icon. You could make her one of the Moles Town brothel maidens of some kind, and it would still line up.
That's a good one.
So for Lannister, what I really wanted to do, just to cheat and make Jesse give me the point, was give Ashmark to Martell, but I'm not going to. It would just be too strong if it was a Martell card.
Yeah.
It seems silly. So instead of Ashmark to Martell, I'm going to give Cersei's Wheelhouse to Martell.
That's fair.
It's a little extra benefit. For if they end up going first, it makes it a real decision point about what happens when. Do you really need that card? And so, like, you're running that heavy initiative, and now you decide to go first and sack the gold for that extra initiative. Like, it's a real decision point. And losing that one initiative makes it even harder. And, again, I like decision points. Martell wants to go second is a cool theme, but, like, how about we make that a real option, a thing that can actually be a decision?
Oh, Will wins this one. Like Will's goes through, no problem. Yours, I don't know. So let's make it so if I win initiative against Martell, I either turn on their overpowered economy, or I give them a gold if they still need economy, or I give them a card if I make them first player. Fuck that. Like, no. like no, Aaron. Like, that is pure Martell, like, fanboyism coming out there. And I think I do not think Cersei's Wheelhouse, like, the counterplay of constantly trying to, like, beat Martell at its initiative game and then make them first is one of the few ways in which some of the, like, more overpowered Martell effects are balanced. And the ability to give them some other benefit if they do go first is just no. So I think Will did a good job of finding a card that fits the theme of the house he moves it into, accentuates some of their underlying themes, and just sort of is a good card for that faction. And then there's Aaron trying to make Martell even more overpowered. So
somehow I knew Aaron's choices would be way above the power.
I'm going to super weaken Martell in a minute, though. So
you know why? You know why this makes me so happy? Because when I first started playing the game, and I listened to the White Book all the time, and then I started listening to Second Sons, one of my favorite parts of the episode was how nice Roy would be before I met him, and that he would just go on these fucking tirades about Lannister. And it's like, and I feel like this is turning into Martell now, and it just like makes me happy.
Oh, it really is. God, wait till Danny. Well, wait till Danny comes out. Yeah. Holy shit, Roy's gonna go crazy about Bern. All right, what say you, Jesse?
I actually like both of them. I don't think it necessarily is too high of a power level for Martell. I think Martell has a really tough decision to go first. But I mean, Will's is a lot more thematic, and I enjoy it more. But I think I would abuse Aaron's more.
Fair enough. That's be fair. Happy I didn't give them Ashmark. All right, you're up first for Martell, Will.
Okay.
Wait.
So final decision on Wheelhouse. Is that going through?
I think I'll let it through. Yes. I think one I'll let it through. Yep. I'll let it through.
Going?
I won't. I'll burn Cersei's Wheelhouse to the ground.
Okay.
Before Arya can, I'll be Dany when she burns King's Landing when Arya is queen in Winds of Winter.
There we go.
Okay.
Maybe Aaron can redeem himself.
Wait, am I Martell first? Yeah, I'm Martell first, right? All right. Yeah, Martell is giving Stark the Water Gardens.
Ooh. Yes.
Stark has some of the best non-characters in the game. Their characters may suck ass, but they've got things like Harrenhal and Ward and Froso and Winter's Coming.
Oh, you mean the things that you use for Water Gardens?
Yeah. All the
Marriage Pack.
The two-cost sack. Which the name I always forget. I just think
North Remembers.
Yeah, the Sam card. That's what it is in my head.
Heck, even ice.
Yeah, all of that with Water Gardens would be phenomenal. And Stark is in desperate need of the fucking ability to play these cards. And Water Gardens basically solves at least that part of their problem.
Will?
Okay, Martell, I'm going to give Spear Maiden to Targaryen. Retheme it as a Dothraki to play into their military theme. Kind of gives you an excuse to use some of the non-terminal burn, like Astapor and Grey Worm, to ensure that you can win the military by five.
Kingswood was too broken? You don't think Spear Maiden with fucking Drogo is too broken?
I mean, you can run that in a Targ Sun deck right now.
Yeah, but Targ Sun's not good. Yeah, it's probably.
Aaron's is a really good decision because I think that economy is, I mean, I think we've talked about, I don't know if I've talked about this on podcast with Aaron or, I don't know, anyway.
Drunkenly crying at war after Stark for, yeah.
Buzz and you and I had a discussion about this on Second Sons, which is like Stark's big problem isn't even really that their characters are bad, although Aaron is extremely convinced that their characters are bad now. It's that their economy is shit. And the ability to free up their economy to be spent on its characters, and then you can have Water Gardens to play things like marriage packs, wards, et cetera, all the things we listed, would do a whole lot to improve Stark, and it would do a whole lot to neuter Martell to lose that really powerful effect. And Spear Maiden, I just think, is kind of like a boring card, and it becomes a slightly more broken, boring card in Targ. So I have no problem with Will's going through, but I would be unexcited. But Aaron's is like an enthusiastic. If last one, like Will's is an enthusiastic, amazing, hit it on the nail, Aaron is for this round.
Yes. I actually think more so. I think Water Gardens with Stark would make Stark playable, like very much so.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be good.
Oh, yeah. It makes their mediocre direwolf attachments better, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you can play those for free.
I would play Nymeria with this. Like the Intimidate. Well, I mean, the Attachment Nymeria. Like,
yeah.
I just think it's good.
Attachment Nymeria is fucking phenomenal. Yep. Just wish it was on, good characters. Why are all Stark's characters strength 4?
It's their theme, man. That's their theme.
Mage should not be like mage was like a partial saving grace, and then it's four strength, and it's just like, God, this is terrible.
Yep. Dude, Blackfish. He's a champ card. Seriously, four strength? Whatever. Like, whatever. Alright, so Night's Watch.
Oh, this is gonna be interesting. I'm gonna give the wall to Bera.
I tried to stick with mostly cards that didn't see play except for Martell, because fuck Martell. Martell can just lose a card.
Well, okay, so for Night's Watch, I'm going to give the Watchers on the Wall, Maester Aemon, to Martell. Oh. It's their revenge theme, much more. Forces no, them to actually
attack. That cannot happen.
Give some uncertainty. Like, okay, so look at it like you're attacking into Martell. You don't know if they have Vengeance for Alio or whatever. Like, there's uncertainty. Maybe your challenge is going through. Maybe it's not. You can play with that and see what happens. Like, Night's Watch, you're just running into a, pardon the pun, wall. So, I like the uncertainty.
All right, so my local group here, we built decks where we put one loyal card in a deck, okay? Just like you could use 3X, but you
had... That Aemon's not loyal, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I put...
You don't think, come on, there would be a Martell Watch deck.
I put that Aemon in that deck, the icon removal, and just wrecked house. Like, you could not stop it. Running two claim plots, like, it was gross. Like, that can never happen.
He's gross as fuck in Night's Watch Sun. Like, literally, he takes, like, Night's Watch Sun would be a tier 7 deck if it wasn't for Maester Aemon. Like, Maester Aemon makes that, like, a tier 2... Like, maybe going on to tier 1.5, maybe a few more synergy starts come.
In Martell, we might as well give the next 5 champ cards to Wausau.
Nice. Yeah, fair point. So I was totally going to think I was going to get yelled at for this, but I think comparatively I might just get by. So I want to give Greyjoy Ghost.
Yep, that's fine.
No!
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm in.
No, a repeatable save?
No,
no, no, no. Wrong ghost. Oh, the stealth ghost?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's sure, whatever.
Yeah, helps the unopposed team.
Oh, that's fine.
They can't defend an extra challenge.
Sure.
Whatever. I mean, he's annoying, and I wouldn't necessarily. Yeah, yeah, he's okay, I guess.
I mean, still, you don't have to change the name. It would be like stupid Raider number 26. But like, hey, I feel like it would really help, especially if they didn't have Asha, but whatever.
I thought for a second you were thinking about the save one, and I was like, no, that would be dumb.
No.
It's powerful enough in Night's Watch. Like, hard to fit, but powerful enough in Night's Watch.
Oh, you guys are fine with the ghost thing?
Yeah, I'm all bored.
I mean, it was really good for you that Will went that first.
Will was like, let's break this game real quick.
Aaron did some overpowered suggestions here, but like, let's fuck every other faction. Let's take this like card that is only balanced because it's in a faction that has trouble pulling off its effect and has a better like Aemon. The core Aemon is just better for most other Night's Watch strategies. And let's move that guy into a faction that just loves everything that this Maester Aemon does.
Like, it's so funny, Will, because I promise you, like, I'm pretty sure I've even talked to Roy and Glazer about this deck that I built. Like,
yeah.
If this happened, yeah. Like, how dumb it would be. So, like, when you said that, I was like, oh, God, no.
This is Scott Levine's, like, favorite card. Like, when I was testing...
Who's Scott Levine? I don't know that name.
Scotty. He sent me like 7 versions of Night's Watch Sun that were Maester Aemon abuse for Thrones War. He's like, this deck's amazing. It's got Maester Aemon, like 2 claim plots. Like, you're going to do it. And it's like, yeah. But what happens if you don't see Maester Aemon?
That's why you run summons.
Stark can't afford to give away anything great. But Stark is giving away Sansa's Maid to Tyrell.
Sure.
No.
I know why.
No. No, I'll bust that.
Yeah, I know. It's a combo. I wanted to see if Roy would notice, and he totally didn't. It was great. All right. Why is that broken, Jesse?
I will pass
that.
Oh,
it's because of Brienne. I mean,
yeah.
But you can build up Tyrell Wolf Brienne deck, I bet, at this point.
You can. It's just not as efficient as Lion.
Lion or
Summer.
Or
Crossing.
Yeah, Crossing, yeah. But it's there, so... I mean...
There's a ladies deck that's like... We built before Stalic, that like...
I remember that deck.
Yeah, it was close already. If you put that in main house Tyrell where they just already have the extra efficiency, it's probably real bad.
Either you need a restricted list for Martell and Targ, or you need to do something like that.
Yeah. So Glazer loses before Will even speaks.
Be careful. Will's gonna
all
be
right.
Like,
I don't
Will's gonna be to... like, Stark is fast, Eddie, to Tyrell, and you're gonna be like, oh, wait. Go ahead.
Oh my god.
No, actually, hilariously, I am giving a card from Stark to Tyrell as well, but I'm gonna give the Lady Attachment. That movable strength boost is just way more interesting and useful in a house that actually can do something with that tech than Stark.
Hmm. I like it.
I don't. And, like, I just don't see how... I think that the one of the things that's actually really nice about the second edition Direwolf attachment theme is that they're actually very thematic cards, and there's just nothing to me... Yeah, the strength boost is kind of thematic from Tyrell, but just nothing of the mechanic of the card screams Tyrell to me, that at the very least Aaron's card, whether it's busted in Exodia Brienne or not, is at least thematically Tyrell, but I mean,
yep.
I don't see anything specifically about Lady that screams like this is a Tyrell card other than the plus two strength card. But then like Widow's Wail should be a Tyrell card.
I mean, that's almost all there is to
it. Well, the moving around is like a dog and it's terminal because she dies. Like Lady is actually a really well designed card.
Rename it like Olenna's favor or something, right? And she's bestowing her favor on different people depending on who her attention's on.
Be Marjorie's favor, I guess, right? Because Marjorie's favor moves around.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right, I don't know. Neither of these, I think, go through.
Yeah. Neither one. Oof. I was hoping someone would say Core Eddie DiBera.
No. No, God, no.
That's fine. Good.
It's really not. Okay. Will, you're up first for Targ.
Targ, let's see, where are they on my list? Oh, yeah!
Of course it's...
Okay, you're going to wait to find out what they say?
No,
about
I just don't... I really don't know which I pick, so I'm going to say both, and I think I know which I'm picking. I'm picking the second of the two, just so you know. Okay. Who's first for Targ? You're first for Targ, right?
Yep. Okay, so for Targaryen, I'm going to actually move Blood Magic Ritual over to Baratheon. I think it's really easy to retheme it as some kind of R'hllor kiss of life type thing. I think they could maybe use a little boost on keeping their couple core characters in play. And nice little combo with Maester Cressen to ditch the condition attachment and get their text box back.
That's cool. I actually like that.
I like that too. It fits the R'hllor. Yeah. That's a good job adapting
it's,
the card.
It's
and
my favorite
saves
of things.
Kind of a Baratheon.
So. My favorite of Will's.
Very right on with like being thematic with it for
That's
most
what
of Will.
For.
I dig it.
So I think something is about to happen to Night's Watch. And what I think is about to happen to Night's Watch is this box of RNG cards is going to make them or all their defensive themes real bad for a little while. Because Venomous Blade is going to be every other deck and it's just going to be this giant nightmare for them. So I think in order to keep Night's Watch defense relevant, they should get King Viss from Targaryen.
I'm good with that.
I have to remember what he does.
He harpoons people.
Oh yeah.
And while you he was like the theme behind mine and Scotty's Targ Watch deck.
Okay.
Might be right. Well,
he harpoons people. And then just like other like not or other kings. Yep, other kings and the challenges, and then
they don't have any character.
Have a king, he gains a power.
Yeah, it's good against Martell. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, sending him to Night's Watch would be good. Is like a he could be this could be a version. He kind of would fit. Amon, but yeah,
it can't be Amon.
I mean, except for the whole fact that, like, everything you just said about Venomous Blade, like, well, he right. dies so, to but it, too.
That, he would be, like, your main Amon target at that point, right? Like, you would try not to use him in challenge, yep. just keep saving him with Amon. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's your functionally strategy against that deck, and at least it gives you something to fucking do besides just die.
Well, yeah, and his ability is, like, it's an attacking thing, so it at least encourages the Night's Watch deck to make challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, he would be a fine Night's Watch card.
I like any Night's Watch card that doesn't help builders. Oh,
the other...
And I disagree with that. I still think...
So the other card I was really considering is Giscari Elite, because I think, what's that stupid one-cost attachment that one-cost location that I hate in everything but builders?
Isle of Ravens?
Isle of Ravens is terrible in everything but builders, and you shouldn't play it. But since everyone does anyway, just give Night's Watch Giscari Elite, and they can do the same basic thing with a body.
Ooh, do you really think Isle of Ravens is bad? Yeah, I think bad? Is a bad
card. I don't know. That
I think it's good against.
I think in a vacuum, I think
it's good against it's combo card. Bullshit, and it's good against Targ, and otherwise you probably shouldn't run it.
And Martell. It's going to get real good against Martell soon.
I think Martell just has so much good shit in its discard pile.
Yeah, but shuffling those saddle shitty bastards. There we go.
Yeah.
Bastards in, and it's just it's good against flea bottom decks, right?
Sure, but I feel like at that point, like, you shuffle my shoddy city bastard in. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to use the Dornish Spy. Like,
All right. Here's where I disagree with you. So at Wins, Aaron, you know how Alex was playing that Martell Fealty deck you built for him. I won those games because I had flea bottom, and he just had awesome. He had awesome cards in his discard pile, but it's like, oh, no, Dornish Spy for you. Oh, no.
Oh, you mean Isle of Ravens?
Yeah, Isle of Ravens. Yeah. Sorry, Isle of Ravens. I'm
saying, but if you're trying to keep the
Oreo, no, nothing.
So if you're trying to keep the Shadow City Bastard out, you can't keep both out. Isle of Ravens is once. Like, you're going to spend literally all your time keeping the Shadow City Bastard.
But I guess. It just limits the things that Martell, like, the playing against Martell, you want to limit the bullshit you have to play around. And by shuffling one of their bullshit cards into their deck, that's one less thing you have to play around. I don't like the card in a vacuum, but I think what the meta has become has made.
I don't think I agree, but fair enough. I think a big part of the problem with it against Martell is, like, there's that spot that people run Orphans in now, that sort of like extra two cost spot, and that's so easily in almost every deck just become Shadow City Bastards, and you shrug. Like, so they end up not really losing anything from that. Like, because Orphans are good, but, like, they're not Shadow City Bastards good.
I don't know. I don't think we will come to an agreement on Isle of Ravens. I think that card is very good.
Fair enough.
Neither here nor there.
I think it is a shit card in a vacuum, but where the meta is right now has made it better. Not screaming 1x in every single deck, but it has become better and an option for decks that have location slots, which is often Night's Watch, but can be other decks as well.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, I think it's really good at Night's Watch. I just don't really like it anywhere else. That's why I want to give Giscari Elite, so they could just run a good card instead. Terrell, you're up. Me?
Yeah, you are.
You're up, me. Terrell is giving away its new Mace Terrell to Lannister. Because it's a fucking Lannister card, and it's stupid that Terrell is getting it.
Oh, we're talking about the new one that was spoiled, the French, spoiled by the French.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Plus
one. You're talking about.
No. God, no. That card shouldn't exist. But since it does, no one's going to play this otherwise really interesting Mace Terrell anyway. Or they shouldn't. So Lannister is desperately in need of some draw, and the card is a fucking Lannister card. Like, draw two and discard one is a Lannister theme, right? Like,
I'm actually wholeheartedly like, hard
plus
that.
Plus one gold on a character, a Lannister theme.
When you first said it like them, I thought you were talking about the busted Mace.
I said new.
I was like, why would you do
new,
that?
New.
We dealt with a year and a half of fucking Lannister.
The new one. I also think he still shouldn't be a Lannister. You're separating him from Highgarden. You're separating him from all the interplays effect.
Most all the Lannisters is ambush.
You have a lot of ambush.
Yeah, but it's ambush, not interplay, which means it doesn't, like, it separates a lot of problems, but no. like that would be above the power level of this little exercise, even if it would be better. I think it should be the new mace that gives the gold and the draw, because I think Lannister would really, really love that card.
He'd be pretty busted at Lannister.
I'm really scared that card just won't see play, and it's upsetting. So I think
he'll see play when we get our restricted list, and it's coming with all the OP cards coming.
I'm hoping
coming out. It's coming.
If you say so.
I am as well.
I guess to me with Tyrell, oddly enough, I'm also giving a card away to Lannister, but I would rather give the Hightower to Lannister. I don't know for sure about the rename, but active generation of gold, like doing something in order to get gold, I think fits more with the Lannister theme that they've been pushing lately. Even back to the core set, but like Tyrion, Gold Road, that sort of thing.
Right, Roy's gonna yell at you.
I mean, and yeah, there's some card drawn stuff too, but I mean, I think it's better over there, and it would separate it from Mace.
Because you want in Clansmen? Shocking.
No, like no, Will. Like first off, that was amazing bullshit artistry. You should go work for the Trump administration. Like
that was the meanest.
Barely does it. Like this active card. What do you do? Oh, okay. I'm playing a Game of Thrones deck that isn't Night's Watch and Martell. I'm gonna marshal a character. Oh, I get a gold and a card. That's so like active playstyle.
Well, that is extremely active when compared to the Arbor and Redwood Straits.
And then, you know, in the challenges phase, I'll ambush in my Burnman or the Hound, get a gold and a card. Like, no, thank you. It's like that card is. I actually think that card, because of all of the jumper events, is even more busted in Lannister. Like, if it was in Lannister, then it would be than it is in Tyrell, and it's busted as hell in Tyrell.
Without Mace, with Mace, it's still more busted in Tyrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mace. Yes. But like, if the only Mace that existed was the 6-cost Mace that was spoiled, it would be strong, but not necessarily busted. But the ambush in Lannister and all the ambush events in Lannister, where suddenly, what's the Hear Me Roar becomes card neutral and gold neutral. Like, fuck that.
So I can only think of one house.
Never. Never bet.
There's only one
plus a card.
There's only one house in the game that could reasonably have Hightower and not have it be busted.
Stark.
It would be busted Stark. In Baratheon?
Yes. I don't know how, but it would be.
I don't know. I think it's literally fine in every house
except for
Tyrell. Yeah, I would want it in Lannister, but I think it's real bad.
It would be broken in Martell, and it would be broken in Targ.
Does Targ
I want you to think about what getting with Targ's all discard theme, and every time they play a card, they get one. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fair.
I mean, I think Barra and Stark are the only places it could really be and not be super above the curve. And I think in Tyrell,
it is a 4-cost location. It needs to be above the curve.
Yeah, I think in Tyrell, it would be where it should be if Mace Tyrell, Box Tyrell didn't exist.
Yeah, I could see that.
But
even as
so, veto.
I guess I'm
both.
Wait, you vetoed me?
I watch
Mace to Lannister. You veto that?
Oh no, never mind. Yeah, that's fine. Yours is fine. Will, no,
bummer.
No, Will. Sorry to break your heart.
All right.
Yeah, right. Probably not.
So after this, we're not telling that up.
Oh, I've got a tally up. It's, Aaron got 6 through. I got 5 through.
Ah, fucker. evil. All right. So in addition to this, those for us were cards that you just literally changed factions. There's one card for each faction. And we didn't try. I didn't try and balance this out. That we just changed to like add to another faction, and like we changed whatever was necessary. So, ready? Do these cards get printed for you? Baratheon gets Aeron Dampare for a shy.
So wait, when a card is saved?
No, real Dampare. Good
Dampare. Oh.
Wind Dominance.
Some strange reason I went to that, the 6-cost one.
Wind Dominance get in a shy back.
Or Rallor, yeah.
Or no, you mean Rulor?
Sorry.
Rulor, yeah. That's way more.
No.
No? Why?
No.
Why?
I don't want to. Because that just like makes Mel even more busted.
Seriously? You think that's more busted than Greyjoy getting Ironborn back?
Well, I never said the original version was not.
Busted. No, I feel like
I don't.
Mel is one card. Like, besides that, you're not really doing anything busted with it. And like,
are you meaning Corset Mel? Which Mel are you talking here?
Either one.
Because you're saying about Corset. I'm just wondering. You just mean because she'll like, just keep coming back and never go away? Because she can't trigger off of that. Okay.
Yeah.
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 And you would also get to Windom, and what you could trigger, which I think would be really fucking cool, is the guy that lets you look at your opponent's hand.
Yeah, the Queensman. I do love that guy lately.
Queensman. Yeah, Queensman with the
Super. No, isn't that Marshall, too?
That's Marshall.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So then there's no downside to this. This should totally be
work with Flea Bottom.
I feel like, I actually feel like it's not that like bad, and
less busted it's, than a Greyjoy.
It's because I think it's less. Is it less of a good stuff card? No, it's more of. It's equally a good stuff card. I think it's a lateral move. Like it's still an above curve card, but I think it's a little less above curve because there's only two really good Rulor characters on their own, and they're both named Melisandre. Oh. Unlike. On their own.
No, that's not.
That you want to keep.
That's not necessarily true.
You want to keep recycling a single copy of, right?
I'm waiting for Jesse to say what I just realized. Go ahead.
If this happened, you would play all the Rulor characters. Which means you would play Barrack. You would play
Barrack is shit with this because Barrack only works when you marshal him.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm just saying you would play Lemon Cloak. You would play. What's the other one?
The good one.
Yeah.
The save guy? Yeah, but again, he would come back with no power.
Thoros?
Yeah, he would come back with no power. Again, like this is still significantly less.
I'm not saying it's
I just feel like
it's definitely less good than it is in Greyjoy. Like the Ironborn versus Rulor characters just like in a vacuum, the Ironborn is way
better. That Barra doesn't have any other.
I just don't like the design space.
Okay. We should probably move forward though.
Roy's gonna hate this. I feel like Jesse's just gonna go, okay. Greyjoy should get a Palace Spearman that works for going first.
Yeah, fuck that.
I mean, it's French vanilla.
It seems fine.
I mean,
you have to win initiative.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, a lot of Greyjoy decks are going away from initiative. Like, it builds back on that theme. I'm completely fine with that.
I mean, of all of these, I'm sure this is probably like the low stake one, but my gut reaction is I don't want Greyjoy Reigns to get even stronger, but in a vacuum, it's fine. It's fine in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. This is the one that we get to hear Jesse start freaking out for. So the new Obara Sand goes to Lannister, except for Clansmen.
No. No,
I
don't want that.
The recycling one,
except
or no, this is the put one in play.
Yeah, the jumper,
the hand,
the jumper.
Yeah.
Oh god, that would make me so happy, but
it would be
I hate that card to card anyway.
Obara.
Oh, I mean,
it would be amazing as Clansman. I think it's the final piece Clansman need.
Oh, I think it would be real fucking good with Clansman. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like the card originally, so I don't, because it's offensive to me. It's good.
Oh, you just don't like good cards? Oh, wait, that's fair. You only like combo cards. Martell?
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It would be it would be very strong as a clan. It would be less strong. It would be less strong as just like it being Obara.
Because they have Harrenhal. So you can cheat in a 6-cost clansman, win a challenge with him.
No, but then you
return him to your.
You can't return him to your hand. You can't return him to your hand. You have to return a clansman of lower cost.
No. You're right. So okay.
So
you have say this 5-cost Obara. Let's call her Chella, right? So Chella, this 5-cost Chella, right? So then I put in Timmit with Harrenhal. Return Timmit. to my hand and
how are you returning
literally
Timmit
any
to
other clan in the play.
No, you, how are you returning Timmit to your hand?
Because the way Obara reads is you don't return her to your hand, you return any Sand Snake character to put. So like,
yeah, that sounds good. I want that card.
Obara, you can put Tyene, you know, you can
you
have Tyene and return.
You guys
put any.
I hope I never win anything because that's my new champ card.
Yep, I was literally about to say, you guys can thank Aaron Glazer if I ever win a champ.
Yeah, although, in fairness, I don't go to FFT sanctioned tournaments, so the likelihood of me getting a champ card isn't great.
Who's the heck?
Martell gets a city watch that needs you to have less power to get cheaper.
I mean,
who is this? I'm sorry, which faction?
It's another French vanilla card. I don't really care too much about it because I just don't think they're going to blow slots on.
So,
I just hate.
So wait, does that mean zero? Does that mean on the first turn it's ambush zero?
What? That's not what City Watch does.
Yeah,
it's reduced. Oh, it's reduced by two, right?
Yeah, once. Not
so
like
it becomes.
I hate giving any ambush to Martell with Water Gardens out.
Wait, but Water Gardens doesn't work with Ambush.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no,
that's
there's
right.
Nothing to make this cheaper, and you can Ariana it because it's six plus
that's
core.
Fine, then.
I just feel like that four cost of Ambush for being money, cheaper though. Would be amazing.
I only play City Watch and Draft.
I like City Watch a lot. I just wish it was better, and I feel like in Martell I'd actually play it.
Okay, like so, on the first turn it would be Ambush four?
Assuming you let your opponent get one unopposed, then you're behind.
Yeah.
Yes. You can ambush one big dude for four.
I mean, City Watches are pretty annoying. And they're Arion bait?
No, they're not. They're six cost.
Yeah. They're five.
Yeah, they're six
they're
cost.
They're five. I literally have the card open.
Printed cost.
It's five for six. It's a five for six, yeah.
Oh.
Non-loyal, so you could...
Oh, never mind, Blazer. Sorry.
I thought they were six. In my head, they were six when I did
so
that.
It's actually three.
They're five for six? Oh, they're ambush six. I had the
ambush six,
cost. Yeah, you can make it six cost then. That's fine.
I don't think it sees any play at that point.
Okay. But,
all right. Cool.
Night's Watch should get Kevin. At six cost, you should get Kevin.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. That sounds great. I love that idea. I'm gonna beat Jesse here. Please do that. Please do that.
You're hard enough to get rid of him to start with.
Hell no.
Six cost.
I'm fine if it says
no.
I'm fine if it says three cost or lower location.
Why are you? So I get it. I get how it is. I see how it is. It's okay for Jesse's Clansman deck to recycle its broken four cost location, but it's not okay for my Builder's deck to recycle its broken four cost location. That is unfair. And
all right.
I really don't run him.
You don't run him anymore.
Does it? Wait. I really don't. Does he have a builder trait?
No.
I'll definitely run Kevin after Louise's bullshit plot comes out.
All right. We'll save that for a later episode.
Bryce Louise.
That's like particularly with Mutiny out, like
that's the whole point.
I know what's the whole point. Like immediately I was like, oh man.
Like I just don't know that I need to
Will
say anything
more.
Just,
no.
I don't like it.
Okay.
It's too powerful.
I don't know that it's...
So Stark gets two cards. They're the only one that gets two cards because I feel like they're very sad. And they get two reverse Martell cards. And it won't work in full reverse. It would have to be scaled. But they get a reverse Scorpion Sting and a reverse
really
Secret
Schemes. I
really
like the idea of the reverse Secret Schemes, you know? That play into their...
I like...
They go hard early and kind of get worse the later the game goes.
Yes.
I also do.
I want Secret Schemes.
Yeah, and you limit it like to its downside to draw one card.
Yeah. Replace
like, to a minimum of
that
one.
Worst. Yeah.
You can draw like five. You can draw five.
Yeah, you
or six,
cycle
and then
it.
To a minimum of one. And then.
I don't.
Yes, I like that
I don't
a
think
lot.
Scorpion's thing, though. Because Lannister.
Really?
No, not Lannister.
Reverse
excuse
Scorpion's
me.
Thing.
Stark's.
Just give them all the renown early. They're supposed to be really
but
rushed.
Stark doesn't like Stark's problem. Like of all the problems that Stark has, its problem is not that it doesn't have enough renown, right? Like, it
no. Yes, it is. And it's crossing deck. It is absolutely that it doesn't have
cheaper now, maybe, but.
Well, that's what Scorpion Skate does, right? It says I can run that weenie deck of crossing. The whatchamacallit deck, the Chris Vack deck.
Oh.
I can run that Chris Vack deck and
the,
make it
the
consistent.
Winter deck?
No, the crossing. Oh, he's got a crossing now. Crossing
his winner, yeah, okay. But I think it'd be too strong.
Similar.
I do think Scorpion Sting and Stark would be too strong. It's very easy. I mean, Stark's problem is not, again, the great tragedy of Stark.
So it would be.
He's got only challenges.
I'm going to roll the dice to try to make Stark strong again. Because they are real bad.
Yeah, I would say it would be like if there are fewer than three plots in your use pile, choose three characters, three Stark characters that each gain renown.
I would be fine with fewer than three and give two.
It would be after you win a military challenge, choose up to
It has to be related to the number of plots in deck.
Like choose X characters and X is the number of plots What's the wording of this Unstarks thing?
No. Yeah, because then you're getting like six power. That's crazy. So it would be three or less. It would work as three or less. You can't give six characters renown turn one. That's silly.
It'd be silly to print a card where you could just give like six characters power.
I don't know why that card exists, but whatever. Eventually, someone starts winning tournaments with that, and we're all sad. Targ gets Lysani Pirate, but the Lysani Pirate works the way it should, where the stolen gold can be placed on a character or location up to its bestow cost, so you can't go above.
Okay, putting that limit on it, I think I find that reason.
Maybe? Still seems strong.
I like
Beggar
Brothers. Yeah, it should be strong. Everyone got something strong. That's the whole point of this section.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean,
it'd be cool. It'd be real fucking annoying to play against, but.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Tyrell gets Gren, who only works on defense. Still can only put the power on a standing character, but works on defense.
No.
Why not?
I just don't want to give Tyrell any more power. It's already a problem.
I mean, it's just a problem because of Mace. I feel like they're like an interesting house that has a Mace problem.
That's fair, but until then, they can't have any more.
Fair. You know they're just going to print more fucking Tyrell Renown in like a pack, right?
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, somebody didn't realize what Mace would do to the game.
I'm sorry, what was that card?
It wasn't me.
A Gren that works on defense.
Goes to who? Tyrell?
Tyrell.
Yeah, he's fine.
Tyrell.
Sure.
Nah.
It's fine, except for Mace, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Mace breaks everything you're going to give Tyrell a little bit.
Yeah,
sadder,
I mean,
right?
All good cards. Tyrell is just a faction you can no longer give good cards to, so.
Yeah.
That's all of them, right?
That's it. That's every house.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
That
Aaron,
was a fun segment.
I liked it. It was. It was very fun. Thank you, Will, for also thinking of all the thematic cards. That was good.
Well, you did a great job. If you didn't like towards the end like blow it
have
by
two
overpowered cards into your faction, you would have kicked Aaron's butt.
So
instead, come from behind.
So close. Oh well, maybe next time. All right, props and slops.
Props and slops.
So, Will, this is going to be coming out Friday the 9th, right?
Let me count that out. Yep, sure will.
All right. So if you're hearing this, I want to encourage you, if you make a last minute decision, to come to Storming of Starpike, which will be in Philadelphia, of which two of my other co-hosts tonight, Jesse Carpenter and Aaron Glazer, will both be attending. So Saturday at noon here in Philly, the details are in the Facebook group, or I just put them on CardGameDB either, if you still use CardGameDB, or you could reach out to me, or Will, or Aaron, or Jesse, and ask us about it. And please come. It will be a great tournament. I want to make it, I want to have a larger turnout than it had last year. We almost had the same number of people as US Nationals. So if we could hit that like 54 mark, I would be really, really happy. If you're listening to this after Friday and it's like Sunday or Monday and you saved the white book, I want to thank everyone who attended the Storming of Starpike. I'm sure it was a fantastic tournament. Congratulations to whoever wins.
There you go.
From the past.
Right? Well, you know, that makes me think, speaking of retrospectives like this, since this will come out on the 9th, I want to somewhat preemptively, postemptively slop everyone that did not attend this year's Boy Classic and have their chance at the Jester's Cap.
I want to prop Jesse Carpenter and retroactively for being the White Book's first $50 a month donor so that he gets to hear that episode uncensored.
Perfect.
I'm in. I would like to prop, at this point when you're hearing this, the draft for my named attorney has already taken place.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so I want to prop that, and good luck to all the kings.
Woo.
And by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to either laugh at or celebrate the team that you are on or the team that you are following.
Nice.
I want to
prop another.
I want to prop Jesse for joining Aaron and I, and I know adding another Thrones responsibility. I know from personal experience, adding another Thrones responsibility to your life can be a bit of an awkward situation. But I really appreciate you joining us and somewhat balancing Aaron and I running over Will. I'm happy to have you on our rotation, Jesse. So.
Oh, I appreciate that. Like I told Will when we talked about it, like coming up as I was like a massive fan of the show. So actually becoming friends with you guys through the game and then actually like being a part of the White Book has been very rewarding and very cool to me, even one episode in.
The same way. So, and still feel the same way. The gratefulness of Will including me into this podcast that I knew Aaron Glazer, the sound of Aaron Glazer's voice before I ever actually met him at that hot basement of bread and butter.
God, this just sounds horrible. All right, so I'm going to slap Daryl from like 5 years ago because I would have never been on this podcast if he just fucking drank with me. He was like, no, I don't drink again anymore. Yes. You remember that, Will?
No, I honestly don't. Was that like at Worlds or something?
It was at Worlds, and like I was like buying millions of shots, and Daryl's like, I just don't do shots anymore. Oh. He was such a punk. I had a really nice, like, Greg and I got along amazingly the first time we met. It was phenomenal.
It was everything that after that.
So, like, my relationship with Greg and Daryl went in direct opposition, like, because I was so mad at Daryl, and like, but like, I just started getting mentioned on the podcast. I was like, I feel like Glazer's gonna be texting me in the middle of the night demanding I drink. And I was like, oh, look at that. Which is fairly accurate of me before kids. What are you going to do? Oh, I want to prop the letters page, the Sentinels of the Multiverse podcast, because it's super fun.
You know, I'm...
That was a real one. Sorry, I flipped a real one.
Oh, man. I'm gonna throw a prop out to episode 4 of the Telltale Batman Season 2.
Like, oh, okay.
Really enjoyed that. Have you played episode 4 yet?
Oh yeah, man. I have when it comes to video games, I have serious FOMO. I constantly play everything as soon as it comes out. Okay. So
I was thinking you were normally ahead of me on that.
So yes, I liked it. It was pretty good. The Telltale's announcing when the fifth episode comes out Well, it will be announced by the time this episode comes out. So, awesome. Yeah, I liked it. I particularly liked actually the beginning had like what the beginning was of each episode had more of this episode had more impact than most Telltale games do. There was like some big differences depending on what your choices were in the third one. So
I did not look up those differences.
Yeah, so I'm just impressed. I think they executed it pretty well. I don't know if I totally appreciate the payoff at the end of the episode, but we'll see. Come back to me at the end of the fifth episode, and then I'll sort of have a better sense.
I want to see how they wrap it up as well.
If we're talking about propping video games, I have a very weird prop. I want to prop Troubleshooter, which is a South Korean strategy RPG that is in early access on Steam that I somehow bumped across while traveling between California and Philadelphia, and then downloaded when I got home, and it is very enjoyable and I like it a lot, and it's super weird. So if strategy role-playing games made by South Koreans trying to make Japanese style strategy role-playing games and then translating that into English is your kind of thing, you should check it out, because it's definitely my kind of thing.
I should check that out. You should remind me of that when I'm more awake.
Yeah, I'm actually in into that. I want to shout out a props to Mr. Kid Seafelt for coming back to the game. He came in while I was in town, bought all the stuff. We all went out. We convinced him to come to my tournament. He went to the store championship the next day. He crushed it playing Naval. And he seems like genuinely excited to be back in the game. So it's a rarity there's what, two people in the game that have three card designs?
Yeah.
Him and Jonesy, right? Yeah.
That's it. So it is very good to have a legend to come back to the game.
So I think it's important to note that this is the second recent tournament that a Famous Thorns personality was let to win. After the Winds of Winter in Boston, where they let Roy win because he organized an Northeast tournament.
I worked very hard to win that tournament.
They let Kid win this tournament so that he would keep playing the game. Just saying, the conspiracy
was a giant mistake for me to win Winds, because all of my preparation went into winning Winds and then fell face first at Thrones War. So, so it was a trade-off.
I think you made the right choice.
I want to prop Neil, the real deal, who was my king at Thrones War and led our team despite me going 3-4 on the day.
You had the third best start record.
I had the third best start record. Aaron and I had the same record, which I think might be the first time I've had a negative record, and Aaron has a negative record at the same time at the same tournament.
The first time I've had a negative record.
Thanks to Neil and Sid and Benji and all and Jake and all the rest of the Night's Watch players, I have a sweet, sweet tote bag. And we get to say that we are the 2018 champions. So props to Neil, props to the team's Night's Watch, and props to Ryan and Aaron and the rest of the SoCal guys for making Thrones War an utterly fantastic experience. One of my best social experiences of my life. So I really enjoyed Thrones War, hanging out with Aaron, St. Jesse.
You'll get to
props to Sam.
You'll get to reunite with Platt.
For getting me there.
You'll get to reunite with Platt. I'm driving him out to.
Oh, Platt! I love Platt. I may or may not be trying to draft Platt for my team. So, good luck. I know. I know Nick's going to try to grab him. So I may just troll Nick and overpay and force him to overpay for Jake, but.
Nope. I'm getting out of class on Friday, and we are like hauling down through the night to Philly. So I'm excited. The things?
Can you list them one at a time?
Sure. I don't mind doing that. It's myself.
Props.
Roy Rogers.
Props.
I see where this is going. Sid.
Props.
Chris Thompson.
Props.
James Booker.
Props.
AJ Valley.
Props.
Let's see. Nick Hansen.
Props.
And Mark Kramer.
Yeah. Props. Did you say Sid? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said Sid.
Who's the who are we missing? You said, oh, yourself, Jesse's, Jesse, himself, right?
I said
myself. Aaron just said there were seven.
That should be eight. I thought I counted seven. That's okay. I'm really sleepy and bad at things.
Yeah, I think everyone, whoever I'm forgetting, I like that asshole.
No, I'm not even eight. Going anymore.
Well, don't even joke, Blazer. Don't even joke.
Yeah. We randomly, though, like, we got close to, we're like 68 people right now, though. Like, we, yeah, after registration's closed, we're at 68 people.
This is what we should do for one of our New York tournaments.
Oh, my God.
I agree. Every coach should do one.
Mm-hmm. That
it is my first time running a tournament. It's my first time running a tournament, so I'm a little nervous, but I believe we're getting some good prize support put together, and I'm really working hard.
You'll do a great job, Jesse, and I can help you on the day of as well. I'd be glad to help you if you want with.
Roy is one of the better TOs in Thrones.
So,
and I say this,
I am very sad that two of the co-hosts here will not be attending.
I got a kid's birthday and an anniversary.
Yeah,
you got end of March. Like,
be there
begging. I had to. Like, oh man, getting to Roy's tournament was some doing.
We'll plan it next year to where hopefully everyone.
I mean, you make it in April and I'm there.
Yep.
And then we should do it over the summer, Roy.
Oh my God, you're volunteering.
It can be my birthday tournament that you run.
Let's, as we say at work, let's take this conversation offline, Aaron.
Yep.
Yeah, let's keep that out of the
danger zone.
Oh God, the way
there you said it is
horrible. Jesse, you gotta say the last.
You gotta
part.
Say it's chapter.
Oh, no, Jesse, it's Jesse's Jesse. First episode. Jesse, say it.
The danger zone.
No, the closing of the Xbox.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay, go ahead, Will.
Oh,
Jesse is clearly one of our many fans who don't listen to Props and Slops.
Jesse may share an honor with Sandy Barnabas and be a host who is hired and fired in the same episode of the first podcast. So
you never want to share anything with Sandy Barnabas. Listens to this podcast anymore.
Oh man.
Well, I mean, technically, all the characters are bastards, right? In Fuller House.
Oh Jesus!
No, they were all born. Oh,
that's so sad.
Still right? Or well, sorry, I'm thinking Full House. But even in Fuller House, they were all born.
Do we know that? Do we know that?
I get why Glazer's muted sometimes. That's like super depressing.
Welcome to the white book.
This is tame. I haven't actually felt the need to cut that. But frequently, there's a segment of Aaron's where I'm just like, nope, there is no way the rest of the community can hear that.
This is why Second Sons...
He hasn't slandered anyone
This
yet,
is how
so.
Second Sons got founded. I talked shit about Alex Hines for like a year and a half, and it never made one episode. And I was like, fuck it. I'm making a podcast just to shit talk him with Dark Nudge.
Yeah, you know what? You should be thanking me for editing 90% of that out of the Luke farewell episode. You should be thanking
you
me.
You should.
Yeah, well...
Because Aaron went to Canada once, and he didn't get served with a lawsuit. So... You should be thanking him every day, Aaron. Thanking him every day.
You edited stuff out of the Luke episode?
Holy shit.
Yes,
oh, my God. All right. Well, I am going to assist Will here and say cards that we
can talk. Is there an uncut version of that anywhere?
I mean, yeah, I've still got it.
You should totally make that like the highest tier of Patreon backers.
I would pay for it.
Donate $50 a month. You get access to the uncut Aaron recording.
I mean, it wasn't just Aaron that said some messed up things in that episode. It was a lot of people.